Welcome everyone who is joining this Sustainable Herbs Program Ethnobotany webinar. I'm really thrilled today to be here with Ruyu Yao, who is going to speak with us on cross-cultural understanding of local herbal knowledge in Chinese traditional Tao Te Materia Medica. And Dr. Yao has a special expertise in ethnobotany, especially for the traditional knowledge of edible and medicinal plants. His research interests lie in the conservation and development of traditional plant knowledge, the cross-cultural communication of traditional medicinal knowledge, and conservation of biodiversity. He is currently a postdoctoral researcher at the Institute of Medicinal Plant Development, Chinese Academy of Medical Sciences, and Peking Union Medical College, China. So Yao, it's great to have you here. Thank you so much for joining.
Thanks for the introduction.
Yeah. So maybe if you can begin by describing the focus of your research and the broader questions you're exploring.
Yeah. I am from the field of ethnobotany and Chinese herbal medicines. And my research focus on sustainable development of herbal medicines. Before my study on Goji, I majored in cultivation and authentication of Chinese herbal medicines for my bachelor and specialty in pharmaceutical botany for my master, by which I get to know the production as well as the quality control of herbal medicines. Mm-hmm. And I also learned from this experience, the agricultural production of herbal medicines is impacted by a variety of factors. So the quality control is a systematic approach, but not just to rely on a chemical analysis. And after that, I started my doctoral study major in ethnobotany, and the project was to study the traditional use, quality variation, and the value chain of goji. Actually, since then, I started to think about the sustainable development of herbal medicines, and we know the supply chain of herbal medicine is complex, but can be simplified just as somebody produced the herbal product and delivered by another stakeholders and then delivered to the consumers. The sustainable development needs all these three key elements. I mean, the source, the supply chain, and the consumers to be sustainable. For the sustainable of the source, I think we need to increase the quality and the quantity to meet the increasing demand, the market demand, while consider the biodiversity conservation. And the sustainable supply chain, we need to deal with the relationship between the quality of products and the stakeholders' behaviors. Mm-hmm. And the sustainable demand from the consumer may lead to the scientific understanding on traditional herbal knowledges. This is, for example, somebody do not know goji, but I told him that goji is good for your eyes, is good for your health. Then he understands the traditional knowledge about goji, and he becomes a consumer. And now I am doing a postdoc focusing on the cross-cultural communication of the traditional herbology and the biodiversity conservation of the wild relatives of goji. Also participate in the supply chain studies of some other Chinese herbal medicines. So in short, my research is the sustainable development of herbal medicines.
Great. Can I ask a question? Yeah, thank you.
Please.
Can you explain, so that was great, and the part of Dowdy and what geographic indication means as part of your, in Chinese herbal medicine, the industry?
Yeah, okay. So Dowdy Mature Medica is actually one of the important, most important part of the TCM, because TCM is not just about treatment. It will lead, rely on the herbal medicines, and the herbal medicines are sourced from the Dowdy Mature Medica. And it tells, the Dowdy Mature Medica tells the herbal medicines from one specific geographic region with a superior quality than that of other geographical origins. And traditionally, the Dowdy Mature Medica has five kinds of features. The first is the genotype of the organism. The genotype from the plant side. And the second is the environmental factors, which may include the climate. The climate and the landscape and the soil precipitation, etc., like this. And the third category of factor is the technologies for production and for the production and the processing and how people trading. This category of factors is artificial factor. And the fourth feature of Dowdy Mature Medica is its quality and efficacy in treatment. And the fifth feature is hence a unique culture, which was formed during a long history of production. And the Dowdy Mature Medica provides the drugs of good quality for the medical treatment of TCM. And also for some species, it can supply as a functional food, just as goji, can use as both food and medicine. And in 2016, the Chinese law of TCM was released, and it officially the Chinese government promotes the development of Dowdy Mature Medica and also encourages the application of geographic indication for the protection of Dowdy Mature Medica. As we may know, the geographic indication is a term that speaks one product from a specific geographic origin has a good reputation of or the quality or a good quality. This is the similar or the same situation with the Dowdy, but the difference is geographic indication is a legal term.
Oh, which I think
it's a legal term. It's a legislation. Term. Yeah. It can be if something is certified with a geographic indication, it is protected by the law. But traditionally, the concept of Dowdy is just a traditional term with a similar similar meaning with of geographic indication. And this, since the Chinese law encourages the application of geographic indication to protect the study material medical, we can say that the Chinese government start to protect the study material medical from the legislation side. And the Goji is the study material medical of Linxiang, where Goji has a long history of cultivation, and the Yellow River provides a good condition for the irrigation and the fertilizer in the soil. And its climate, it's a semi-arid climate, is fit for the growth of the goji plant, and the weather, the sunny weather, also good for the traditional drying. And yeah, many factors promote that Ningxia become a study region for the goji. And it is also remarkable that the supply chain of goji in Ningxia is ability to deliver goji to the global wide. In recent years, with the increased demand of goji, many goji cultivars are introduced widely in other cultivation regions. But almost all the seedlings of goji in other provinces are from Ningxia, and the technologies to cultivate them also from Ningxia. And finally, the almost all the fruits they yield in other places will transport back to Ningxia, to the distribution center for further trading and other selling. Is it here next?
Okay. Maybe do you want to go ahead and show your slides to show the value chain of the goji and what you found?
Yeah. I have some pictures during my field work in Ningxia and Qinghai. It's full screen.
Yeah, now it is.
Yeah, so this is one of the plantation of goji in Ningxia. It's not standard plantation, and the machine can be used in farmlands. And this one is a map of the cultivation of goji within China in different provinces. The curve cultivation region is in Ningxia, and in Gansu, Qinghai, Xinjiang, and Inner Mongolia also have the large cultivation. And goji is from the, you know, when we grow some plants, we need seeds or seedling, but the seedling of goji is braided with its branch, use a method of cuttage. This one is a small seedlings and which cultured from cottage, and this one is a nursery for the seedlings. This picture And this picture shows the tractor is applying pesticides after one time of the harvest of goji in Ningxia. And here is how the local people pick the fruit or reap fruit by hand, because goji cannot mature at one time like a grape. It needs to pick hand one by one.
Can I back up and ask you a question? When we were speaking before and you were talking about the application of the pesticides and the challenges with pests?
Here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because the goji berry is nutritional, and here we can see the fruit is red, and insects are easily to find them and eat them, and that actually lead to many problems with the insects. And in one life cycle of goji, in one year, pesticides were applied for about seven times. That's after each time they harvest the fruits, they will need to apply once the pesticides. So this causes the pesticide residue problem.
It causes a pesticide residue problem or?
Problem, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And this this picture shows how the initial processing of goji. The first step is in the drying room. After they harvested the fruits, the fresh fruits, they transport this to the drying room, which needs to wash first with a wash. Afterwards, the fruits either can be drying in the oven here, in the drying oven here, or they can dry in the sunlight. This picture is taken from the Qinghai Tibetan plateau. And the half-dried fruit will then be procurement by the middleman. The left side guy is the middleman, and the right side is the farmer. They are bargaining, and the middleman will take the half-dried fruit to the distribution center in Ningxia. And this picture shows how the middlemen's trading their half-dried goji berry. And this is the examine, the quality examine by eyesight of the middleman. And after the firms bought the half-dried goji berry, they will dry it thoroughly with a moist content of around 13%, and then they will grading the fruits by their sides, and for retaining either in bark or package it, or sold in online shops. And this figure shows how the gooseberry delivered from the initial producer to the final consumer. And these stages can be performed by different stakeholders, like this one, the value chain one. Cultivation and roughing was performed by the independent farmer, and the procurement by the middleman, then processing and wholesale by the processing firm, and then to the retailer for retail. And there are different types of value chains here. It is notable that this one, the cultivation, processing, trading integrated firm, that it hires its rental field and hires workers to cultivate and produce gooseberry. So all the behaviors can be controlled within this vertical integrated value chain. Okay, so
great.
This is how goji come to the consumers.
So if you want to stop sharing, is it? Yeah.
Okay.
That's great to see that journey visually. And I'd love to hear you talk then about the difference you found in the quality between the different value chains, the open market and the controlled value chain.
Yeah. As I showed in last slide, that there are quite a lot of value chains for gooseberry, and some of them are the stages can are some of them are performed by different stakeholders, and some are by one of the integrated firm. And for the first situation, the farmers, the individual farmers, when they grow gooseberry, they're prone to use chemical pesticides and the fertilizers to get good yield and to make their berries a good appearance for a good price. But this kind of value chain is not traceable and are found in the open market, like in the distribution center. And so the gooseberry in the distribution center is the quality is not reliable. But for the vertical integrated value chain, it produces goji with the full chain controlled manners. And the gooseberry will also go to a high quality market with a higher price, because it has a good reputation for its quality. It's certified. So I think the basic difference is the traceability. And if it's traceable, then it can avoid the hazards.
Sorry, you can avoid the what?
The risk for the quality.
Mm-hmm. In that, and there was a question about organically grown goji. How does that fit in to what you found? How much organic goji is there, and what are the challenges of that?
Yeah, about organic goji, before 2014, the Chinese government certification administration allows the certification of organic goji berry, but it canceled since the widely use of the commonly use of the pesticides.
They canceled the certification?
Yeah, because of the commonly use of pesticides. But some of the Chinese farms, goji farms, also get certified by the European organizations. I think in 2018, 2 years ago, it starts to the Chinese government start to certify the organic farms again, because at that year, more and more the vertical integrated firms are emerges, and they are able to control at the whole chain and avoid the factors of not organic.
How do they do that? How do they manage pests?
As far as I know, because I have a very close contact with one of the companies with farms and the factory and their sales. And how they do that is they use the organic or the biology pesticides instead of the chemical ones. And of course, they will get rather low yields and smaller fruits. But since their quality is certified, they can get a good price, and they can still run their business with a lower yield.
Got it. And so then the independent farmers, they want to get more money, and so they want bigger berries.
Yeah. Because traditionally, the good quality goji is with the big size and the red color and the taste sweet. And to achieve this, to make this high yield, they apply the chemical fertilizer and pesticides.
Is there a difference? Like, does the concept of Dowdy cover something like pesticide application? Because I imagine that's a newer technology for growing.
I think Dowdy Materia Medica is a very traditional term. Very traditional term, which can source the over 1,000 years ago. We know there's no pesticides at that time, but we know there are GAP, the good agricultural practice for the products, the agricultural products, and some pesticides are allowed to use. That's based on their quality standards. If it's non-producing, if it's green, if it's organic. Mm-hmm.
Can I a little more about goji? Can you talk some about the farmers? So there's some who are independent and then sell their goji berries. Is that on their own land? And then compared to those who work in the vertically integrated supply chain?
It's changing because When I did my field work at that time in 2014, there are less and less farmers grow goji berry in their own land with a small size, small area, because it needs a lot of labor. And the individual farmers can also not bear the risk of the fluctuation of price. Mm-hmm. So they give up their growing on goji. Instead, they cultivate some other crops like maize. But there are some new farmers who rent the farmland in Qinghai, in Gansu, to grow goji plants in a larger size, like 1-2 hectares for one farm.
And then they're the ones who sell it to the open market, or?
Yeah, it's also worries because now the people can easily be join the B2C. The farmers can sell their products by the online shops. Mm-hmm. Alibaba, like something, yeah. And there are also some people use a traditional way that they sell the half-dried fruit to the middleman and go to the distribution center in Ningxia. So the one with direct sale to consumers are also transferable, but since they have just a limited size of farmland, they are not able to get a certification, which costs a lot of money. Mm.
And then who are the ones who work on the vertically integrated farms?
The vertical you mean who worked in the farm? Mm-hmm.
And the farm that's owned by the company.
Yes.
Right.
They hire the people either local or from the other places. It's also diverse.
And is that considered, what kind of work is that? Is that hard to find people to do the work? Is it considered well paid, or can you talk a little about those conditions?
It's just like hire somebody work on the farm, yeah. It's like free market. I hire somebody to do this work and get paid. So, but actually for the pickers, because that's a seasonal worker for the picking work, because the harvest needs a lot of labor, and those pickers are always from the other provinces. The laborers from other provinces, from long distance, and pick the goji berry for the owners, for the land owners, but the local farmers will help each other to harvest their fruit. Since goji berry is not like the grape, it can be harvested by the branch, the whole branch. Goji berry needs to pick every 7 days in Ningxia. Every 7 days in Ningxia, and the local farmers can help each other. Like today, on Monday, I pick A family, and Tuesday, B family, like this. Mm. So I think this is also a traditional way they harvest that.
And then the migrant workers, right, who come in, they're just hired to pick every day on those farms?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, because only the very huge farmland hire the pickers, and they need to work every day, and they were paid by the weight of fruits they harvest.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a question here by Tony Booker before we move away from goji. He wondered, what is the world market share of goji for China? How much is grown in China and how much outside?
I gotta check. What is the word market share? Okay. Market share of goji, according to the statistics of the export department, only about 5% of the goji was consumed outside of China.
Was consumed
outside of China.
So it was exported from China, or?
Yeah, it's export from China. Only 5% of the whole yield of China.
Okay. Do you know in the world market of goji berry, what percentage is from China?
I think almost all, because as far as I know, many countries are now start to grow goji berry, like in Italy, in Poland, in Turkey, Romania, many countries, but compared to the large farms with China, it's still a small portion.
Okay, I think Tony, that answered the second question, that how much is grown outside China. And then Stefan has a Grafner wondered, since this trade is so complex and not very transparent, how does a manufacturer or a consumer, say in the US or Europe, know which goji to buy?
If I am a consumer, I will see the certification it gets. Of course, the one with a good certification, like organic, will have a higher price. But if we buy in the free market, since it's cheap and it's not so safe as that. So good quality comes from the certification of high quality.
And what would that certification be beyond, if it's like, not organic? So there's organic.
Yeah. It's organic or not organic. It's green food or not green. Green certification also.
Okay, I don't know that certification.
Green food. Mm.
Is that a Chinese certification?
I know China has, but outside China, not sure. It's also safe with less pesticides can be applied. Mm-hmm. And it has a limitation for the pesticides residue. Mm. Not so strictly as a bio-organic one.
Mm-hmm. There's A question here also about if there's studies on quality differences between Chinese and European goji.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you compare them? Which gets back to the question of the quality that and Daudi and how if goji can move and travel to other places and be the same.
My experience with goji of European produced is that because when I was in Switzerland, I saw the fresh goji berry in the market, which was produced in Italy, and its size is not as big as that in China. China has the good quality of goji because in the west, in the northwest of China, it has a very very dry area and a very big temperature difference between day and night. And this will promote the accumulation of sugars. And sugars are the most important compound for goji, especially when it is consumed as a food. And I also see the researchers compares goji berry, the published research article compares the quality. I mean, it relies on some chemical components, the comparison of chemical components they are different. But different is not saying whether good or bad. As one of my paper, I compare the goji from different geographical regions, and the one produced in Qinghai with the most sugar. And it is better for consuming and to be consumed as a fruit, while the one produced in Ningxia, it's with a smaller size and easy to be conserved. I mean, many goji fruits, when they storaged in places with a higher moisture, it will back to wheat. So goji berry produced in Ningxia is, according to my experience, it's more suitable for the medicine. So different chemical composition may attribute to goji the different usages.
That can be hard to find then as a consumer or a company elsewhere, right? It can be hard if you can't trace it back to that origin.
Mm-hmm.
There's a question about that there are claims, a lot of claims that goji berries are grown in Tibet. And Ed Smith wondered, do you know is that the case or how would you find that out? It's not in the Q&A, it's in the chat, but I wondered, is some grown in Tibet and how can you find that origin?
Growing band.
Tibet.
Oh, in Tibet. Yes, there are some. There is some, yes. And normally those from the Tibetan region, the Tibetan and Qinghai plateau, it's because the environment is more it's not so good for the pesticides for the pests, so it has a lower risk of pesticide residue. Mm.
I got it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a few more questions on goji, but I also wanted to give you time to speak about your current research on wild goji and germplasm and why you think, why this research is important.
Yes, currently I'm doing a postdoc working on the biodiversity of the wild relative of goji. Because currently, goji are widely cultivated in the northwest of China. And on the one hand, it will increase the source of goji to meet the increasing market demand. But on the other hand, the large scale cultivation will threaten the genetic diversity of the wild materials by the hybridization and the genetic hybridization. So my work is to study, to understand the genetic diversity of the wild materials and which will be the base for the conservation plan for the wild materials. And another reason for this study is that the requirements for the breeding needs many agricultural traits like the resistance to disease, and this often found in the wild materials.
Mm-hmm. The basis for the conservation is the wild plant. Are they being used for them? Are they sold for the market, to the market, the wild plants, or?
No, they are not used for the market. It's just for the breeders, for the breeders to for their breeding work to get new cultivars with specific agricultural traits. And yes.
Mm-hmm. And so have you started that research or?
Yes, in this morning I was writing a paper on this. Yeah.
And what other questions are you exploring that have come out of this?
As I explained earlier, that my experience let me know that the sustainable development of herbal medicines needs a systematic methodology and needs interdisciplinary knowledge on it. And my next, I will still work on this region with sustainable source, sustainable supply chain, and sustainable consumer. And I will more focus on the sustainable consumer, like help people of different cultural backgrounds to exchange their herbal knowledge and share their wisdom for health with plants.
When you say sustainable consumer or sustainable source, what does sustainable mean?
this type of sustainable is sustainable consumer means someone, we need someone to increase the demand, the sustainability. That means today somebody consumed 1 kilo and he need 1 kilo tomorrow again, like this. And the sustainable source is similar that today this field can yield 1 kilo of goji berry and tomorrow it still can yield 1 kilo without ecological bad impact.
And then the supply chain?
The supply chain, this may be based on my study on goji berry, that if we coordinate the relationship between the products quality and the stakeholders' behavior, then the supply chain can be both yet good quality of product and the stakeholders also can get a good financial repaid.
Mm-hmm. So there are a number, thank you. There are a number of questions, but they're specific about goji. And I wondered if you wanted to share anything else. There's only 3 minutes left. And so if there's any other points you wanted to share about the contribution of this to an ethnobotany, how?
I want to show this one because this is a publication of America Herbal Pharmacopoeia of the goji monography. And this one is a Chinese translation. And it tells the history of goji, the chemical compounds of goji, and also many of my work during my postdoc, during my doctoral study. And this is one type of what I mean, the cross-cultural understanding of traditional herbal knowledge in this form, the herbal monographies.
That's great that you mentioned that, because I find that of those monographs as well, that they really blend traditional knowledge with, just like the kind of work you're doing, with rigorous focus on the quality. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this can be an introduction to the general people who want to know goji berry, what are the benefits of goji berry and how to consume them, and not just see somebody is eating that and I eat that. There are also other monographies that for people with different cultural backgrounds to learn the plants scientifically so that they can accept the good herbal products for health.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
For those with specific questions there, when we send the email with a link, I'll include some of the references from Yao's research, or just search for Yao and you can find those, and there'll be answers to a lot of those questions there.